Of either making a really long lesson for today or cutting it in half and being merciful on you and the children and making it shorter. So that's what we did. We got a comparatively short lesson this morning. Be a hearer and a doer of the word. So let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter number 1. We'll be looking at verses 22 through 25 this morning. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. All right, there the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Okay, there the implication is obviously that nobody else is deceived when you're not doing what God says you ought to do in his word. The other believers, they're not deceived, and the world isn't deceived, and certainly God is not deceived. And so it seems like everybody can spot a phony except the phony himself. And it's your own self that you deceive. Then he says in verse 23, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself." Okay, it's obvious what you're looking at when you're looking into a mirror. Okay, the Bible calls a mirror a glass. Okay, "and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." A man comes, he hears the word of God, and as soon as he walks out the church door, he becomes occupied with the cares of this world, with the things of this life again. Forgets what he heard from the word of God, does not apply it to his life. And as certain as he was while he was hearing the preaching of the word of God, you know, as he's hearing it, he's saying, "You know something? That's right, I'm a sinner. I need to trust God every minute of my life. I can't do a thing without the guidance and the direction of God's word." He's certain about that in the church house, hearing it. A man knows that at 2:30, but by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he's forgotten all about it. And that's what the Lord's pointing out. If we don't do what we hear, if we don't apply to our lives what God shows us from the word, it won't make one bit of difference. It doesn't matter if you hear it or not, if you're not going to apply it, if you're not going to do it, it won't have any effect upon your life. So at 25 again, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Notice the way the Holy Spirit interchanges these words here. In verse number 22, it said, be ye doers of the word. In verse 25, it's a doer of the work. Okay? So now the Bible is not given for just intellectual pursuit. You know, I want to learn as much as I can. And the Bible's not given so we could just have Bible studies and so we can go to church. But the Bible is written to provoke action. Okay? And a man that is a doer of the word is a man that is going to be a doer of the work. Okay? The word of God is written to teach us what to do. It's a book that prompts. It's a book that promotes action. And, there's so many preachers who get discouraged because it seems like nobody in the church will do anything, so they can't even begin to get some kind of a ministry going. There's no outreach in that church. And the first thing that comes to mind is, are you genuinely teaching the Word of God? I don't mean taking a verse out of the Bible and using it to preach your sermon from, because this word heard This word believed provokes action. If you're a hearer of the word and you believe what you hear, you will be a doer of the word. You'll be a worker for the Lord. There'll be some activity that will follow. And the Bible says of the doer of the work in verse 25, this man shall be blessed. Notice it's in his deed. Now come back to verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Do you remember how we talked about that fact that when a man resists temptation and gets victory over sin, that in that very act of resisting the temptation, there is a blessing that comes with it. Same thing with working for the Lord in verse 25. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And that's not when I get to heaven and get my reward. It's not what it's talking about. It's not even when I see the outcome and I see that God allowed me to accomplish something for his name. But it's in the very doing of God's word, in the very act of obedience, that God sends a blessing. And I think we've all experienced that. When we finally say, well, I don't feel like doing that, but I know God told me to do it in his word, I'm just going to deny myself and go ahead and do what I can for the Lord. So you say that and you do it even when you don't feel like it. And then what happens? Once you get into that service for God, the very service itself becomes a blessing to you, and it's enjoyable to do something for God. I hope you've experienced that. Let's look at some verses now on hearing from the Bible. He says here in this passage that we are not to be a forgetful hearer. So first of all, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3. That's right before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 3. And then we'll jump to the New Testament in Acts chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter number 3, and then Acts chapter 7. In these verses we're going to look at, in both the Old and the New Testament, God sent men to preach the word to those who would not hear it. Again, that's why it's important to understand the blessing is not in seeing people saved, although certainly seeing someone saved is a blessing, amen? But the blessing is not in a great response for what we're doing for the Lord, even though that's a blessing as well. But God has promised a blessing for the very doing of what is right, for the very doing of what he said to do. The Lord sends the blessing. You say, well, you know, I would go out and talk to people, or I would invite people to come to the Lord, but nobody will listen to me, so I'm just not going to do it. Well, you're going to miss a blessing then, aren't you? Because the blessing doesn't come in seeing results. The blessing doesn't come in gaining converts. The blessing comes in doing what God told us to do. He blesses the one, and he says he blesses the man in the deed. Ezekiel chapter 3, look at verse number 6. Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand, surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Okay? You understand, he just said, if I was to send you to some strangers outside of the land and told you to preach to them, they would have listened. Verse 7, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. You see the word hear in that word hearken? That's what it means. For they will not hearken unto me. They won't even listen to God. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Okay, so what does he do? In verse number 4, son of man, go, Get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. Isn't that interesting? God told Ezekiel, they're not going to hear you. I promise you, they're just going to ignore you. They won't even hear me, so they're not going to hear you. But I want you to go and tell them. I want them to have a chance. I want them to have an opportunity to repent and to turn to the Lord. So you go tell them. You say, well, God didn't bless Ezekiel. The nation did not repent. God didn't bless Ezekiel. People did not turn to the Lord. God blessed Ezekiel because Ezekiel did what God told him to do. His blessing didn't come from the response of the people. His blessing came from the Lord that he was serving. All right, look in the New Testament now. Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. Acts chapter 7. Stephen has just preached this great sermon in Acts chapter 7, and in verse number 57, the very end of his sermon there, the Bible says, Acts chapter 7, verse 57, then they cried with a loud voice. Didn't say that they were saying anything, they just cried out, making noise, amen, and stopped their ears. Obviously, they just don't want to hear. And ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Okay? They cast him out of the city. They cast Stephen. This is happening to Stephen here. Now, Christians in America, they'll go out on the public street corner, and they will preach the gospel in some places. And some guy, he'll drive up with his big, loud motorcycle and start revving the engine in front of the preacher. Vroom, 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 vroom. So nobody can hear what he's preaching. And that happens. And or if it's not a motorcycle, it's a hot rod, you know, just to drown out that preaching. Or they'll start chanting some nonsense just to make noise above the preaching. Say, boy, people sure are getting bad, aren't they? Hey, when Stephen preached to an assembly of religious leaders, they covered their ears. They screamed while Stephen was preaching. He's trying to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah. And they're stopping their ears, and they're yelling, and they're hollering, and they're doing everything in their power to keep from hearing what the man's saying about their Lord. And doubtless, some of those men, one day they'll stand before God and they'll say, well, we never had a chance. We never heard the gospel. The Lord's going to say, okay, let me show you when you had your chance. Run that tape back. And there's you screaming with your hands over your ears right there. Here's you revving up your motorcycle right there. And see, if they didn't hear it, it's not because they could not have heard it, but because they did not want to hear. They stopped their ears. You say, well, man, they took Stephen out and stoned him. I thought you said God would bless a man for doing right. Okay, well, look at this. Verse number 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You say, well, man, the Lord didn't bless Stephen. What do you mean he didn't bless Stephen? The Lord escorted him right into heaven. A personal escort from Jesus Christ standing there. The heavens are open, and he says, come on home, Stephen. No cancer, no bills to pay, no troubles, no worries, no aggravation, no disappointments. He's home in heaven. So God did bless him. But if on the other side of that, if the Lord would have wanted to, he could have protected Stephen. And Stephen could have walked right through that crowd unharmed. And that also would have been a blessing. You remember Paul, one time he was left for dead, and God raised him right back up. What did Paul do? He went right straight back into the city where the people lived who stoned him. Seems like he wanted to be stoned again so he could get right back to heaven. I guess he had a death wish. I guess if you'd have been pulled out of heaven back to earth, you'd be looking for a way to get back too. All right, look in Matthew 13 now, and then John chapter 8. God sends his witnesses to those who will not hear. Matthew 13 and John chapter 8. The second thing the Lord does, in the case of those who could hear but would not hear, the Lord obscures his word so that they cannot hear. The best thing you can do when you hear truth from the Bible is believe it and then act upon it. Because when you hear the word and you say, no, I don't want to hear that, it's not that you can't hear it, it's that they say, I don't want to hear that. They could hear it, they could. They could sit right there and let you tell them how to be saved. Their hearing is good, their mind is good. There's nothing wrong with their intellect or their understanding, but it's just that they say, I don't want to hear it. They'll come out there and they'll yell at the street preacher. They'll tell you on your job, look, I don't want to hear it. Okay? Haven't you heard that? They could hear. They don't want to hear. So what does the Lord do in that case? Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse number 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to them shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So you got three groups of people: the Old Testament prophets and righteous men wanted to hear and understand the truth of the New Testament gospel. But it was hidden from them because it just was not part of their dispensation. It did not apply to them at their time. It was not part of God's dealings with them. Then you had those in the beginning of the gospel period, and they heard the gospel, they heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, And they believed it. They believed it and received it. Then you had those who heard the word and said, we don't want to hear that. We don't want anything to do with that. Okay? Now those that believed it, Jesus spoke to them in parables. Those who didn't believe it, Jesus spoke to them in parables. And then when he was done speaking, he took the believers aside and he explained to them the meaning of the parables. Those who didn't believe the initial truth concerning Jesus Christ, all they got was the parable. You say, why? Jesus said, because they don't want the truth anyway. Because they didn't want the truth, I'm going to give them the truth in a way that it'll just go right by them and they won't get it. That's a strange thing, isn't it? And it just shows you the danger of any of us saying, I don't want to hear that kind of preaching. I don't want to hear that part of the Bible. I don't want to listen to that. Because the Lord might say, okay, you don't want to listen, you don't want to hear it, fine. I'm not speaking to you. You want to put cotton in your ears? You want to stick your fingers in there and plug them up so you can't hear? Fine, you don't have to hear. You won't hear. And there's no other way you can explain. A man with a doctorate degree from a theological seminary teaching in a Bible college that for the life of him cannot believe that God has a perfect Bible. Isn't that strange? And for the life of him, he can't believe that one religion is different from another. With all of his learning. And for the life of him, he can't understand that you've got to trust Jesus Christ, you've got to trust his blood, or you can't go to heaven. How do you explain a man who he's made a career out of studying the Bible, and he's got it so messed up that our 6 and 7 year olds in our children's church would be they'd feel sorry for him. Why can't he see it? It's because if you don't believe it, you can't get it. You can say what you want. There's not many people as faithful and diligent to study their Bible as the Jehovah's Witnesses are. Okay, well, how can you study the Bible, same Bible, and you can't find hell, and you can't find the deity of Jesus Christ, and you can't find salvation by grace, when you're studying the Bible every single day? And I dare say most Jehovah's Witnesses read their Bible more than Bible believers do. But they don't get it. They don't see it. They're blind to it, to the truth. Because if you won't hear the plain, simple truth, God will just confound you. You'll just get all messed up. Stay blind. Let's look in John chapter 8. And verse number 43. But first, let's back up. I want to show you verse number 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now that those words right there, that's what starts the whole debate of John chapter 8. Jesus says, number one, I am. And there wasn't a person there who didn't know who I am was. That's Jehovah God who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. I am. Number two, the light of the world. Now, see, to us, that's so crystal clear. We say, well, sure, he is the light of the world. Man, you'd be in outer darkness. You'd be in hellfire. You'd be blind as a bat. You'd be lost. You'd be dead. You'd be in trespasses and sins. You wouldn't know God. Man, you'd have nothing. Certainly Jesus is the light of the world. He that followeth me, that's what Jesus said, he that followeth me, not join a religion, not the same, not participate in some sort of ceremony, not do a bunch of exercises and catechisms and that sort of thing. No, he that followeth me shall not, okay, shall not, that's future tense, right? So if the future's taken care of, if you're following Jesus, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now here we are, some of us with some education, some of us with not as much education, some of us with schooling, some without a whole lot of schooling, some of us have been in church a long time, some of us are just getting in the church, and yet what we just read makes perfect sense to us. We could spend all night talking about all the meaning in that one verse. And yet, here are these religious leaders of the nation on earth to whom God himself gave laws and covenants and a priesthood and a temple and sacrifices like he gave no other nation on the face of this earth. And those guys can't figure that thing out for the life of them. It's weird, isn't it? All right, now look down at verse number 42. John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. How's that for an address to the ministerial association? Isn't it interesting that people can hear, they can hear the preaching of the Bible and then say it's not true, it can't be true. And then here's a bunch of politicians and news media types. And those same people will say, well, you know, it was in the paper. I heard it on the news. I saw it in the paper. So that makes it true, right? And if you came to them and you showed them and you said, look, this is what the Bible says. The Word of God says this. Well, I just don't believe that. I just don't believe that. And then you try and show them another passage in the Bible. What do? They stop their ears. You say, don't talk to me about that stuff. I got my own religion. It's nothing new, man. That's the very thing that Jesus faced. So the problem is not that people can't hear. The problem is not that people don't have an opportunity to hear. The problem is people don't want to hear. There's in America, some this really happened. Some Christians, they went into a nursing home, tried to witness to people that were basically dying. I mean, they're lying in a bed in a nursing home just waiting to die. And as the Christian is trying to witness to them, give them the gospel so they can be saved, that dying person, that old person, they'll reach up and turn off their hearing aid so they don't have to hear. Come on, man. That's crazy. They'll just grin at that Christian who's trying to witness to them and just turn it off. Nuh-uh. Shake their head at him. He's trying to tell them how to get out of hell. And he's got one foot in hell, and the devil's got him by the shoulder, and he's dragging him in. And I'm not making this up. They'll reach up, turn off that hearing aid. And you know what that is? That's a heart problem there. It's not a hearing problem. It's a heart problem. It's not an intellectual problem. It's a heart problem. And that's what we're dealing with. So proper hearing, James 1, results in doing. Now here comes the argument again. We believe, and we just read a passage that indicates this, we believe that God has dealt with men in different ways in different times. Okay, you can call it dispensationalism, you can call it dividing the word of truth, as the Bible does. You can call it what you want, but plainly, for example, God told Noah to build an ark. He didn't tell anybody else to build an ark. He told Abraham to offer his son on a mountain. He didn't tell anybody else that. He told the Jew to go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices. He didn't tell the Mexicans in 1990 to do that, okay? Plainly, God has dealt with men in different ways in different times. But that doesn't mean that you throw out the parts of the Bible that don't seem to suit your particular time. All right, now in Ezekiel, in John, in Matthew, in Acts, all these places we just looked at, we've seen that those who are not of God will not hear God's words. Okay? That's what the scriptures point out. Especially religious people. Religious people, they're the hardest. You got a better chance of taking to a prostitute, talking to them about the gospel, or a drunkard, than you do somebody who's religious and even moral. Because in most cases, the drunkard knows he needs something. But the vestryman or the Baptist deacon, he thinks he's got everything all worked out. But James says, and again, you throw away James if you want to, but I don't think we ought to do that. I don't think we can. James says, if you are genuinely a hearer of the word, it will be evidenced by the fact that you are doing something in response to what you have heard. Now, in some parts of some countries, 99 out of 100 people will tell you, yeah, I'm saved, but they won't hear the word of God. That's strange. They won't read the word of God. They won't spend any time with people that are talking about the word of God. And they won't do one thing that's written in the word of God. But they'll tell you that they are saved. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you were of God, you would hear his words. You don't hear his words because you're not of God. And James 1 says, if you're just hearing the word, but you're not doing what the word said, you're deceiving yourself. You haven't yet heard the word. And by and large, 9 out of 10 people that go to church once a week have carefully selected a church where they know they don't have to hear the Bible. And if you don't believe that, just picture in your mind what you think would happen if someone like Peter Ruckman or Billy Sunday or D.L. Moody were to preach in the liberal church down in the city. You talk about stopping the ears and crying out and taking somebody out and wanting to stone them, man. People won't hear the word of God. They'll hear a little sermonette. They'll hear a little pep talk. They'll hear a little power of positive thinking speech. They might even hear a verse of the Bible as the foundation for a little text on why we should give to the poor and why we ought to promote equal rights and help the world be a better place to live. But when it comes to opening this Bible and saying, God says, and because God says it, when are you going to start doing it? You know good and well the religious community doesn't want that. They won't even tolerate it. You know I'm telling the truth. Come on. You turn on that so-called Christian TV, that TBN, that God channel, all that other stuff. I mean, you can leave that stuff on just about all day long, and you know what you will not hear? You will not hear a man put his finger right in your face and say, you people out there who are living with a woman that you're not married to, you are as wicked as hell. And you better repent. You better stop it. They're not going to say that. That'll be the last time they did. They're going to say, oh, God loves you, and no matter what you're doing, just send your $10 to this address. And that's why our countries are in such a mess. That's why people don't respect preachers, because they won't preach to them anymore. And you can argue about it all you want, but the mark of the new birth is that you will begin to do what God says to do. And I'm not saying you're going to do it all at once. You're probably not going to do it all in a lifetime. But there will be a change in your activities, in your actions, when you truly come to know the Lord. Look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and then we'll go to Revelation 22. Romans 10 and Revelation 22. In some parts of America, you can still hear preaching on the radio if you want to. But man, you watch how quickly a man will reach up and turn the radio dial when he comes to a station where a man is really preaching the Bible. Now, is it because he couldn't hear? Is that why he changed the channel? No, it's because he would not hear. He wouldn't hear. Romans 10, verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Anybody on earth, anybody in the world, could hear God's words if they wanted to, if they had a desire to. And we talked about that earlier in the study of James. And here's one of the last warnings in Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. Verse number 18. Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. What's the problem here? It's not that people didn't hear. God said, when you hear the word, you had better be careful what you do with what you hear. Be careful what you do with it. You better not add anything to it. You better not take anything from it. You better be a right and proper hearer of the word. What is a right and proper hearer of the word? One that believes, then he remembers, then he does. And that's the right and proper hearer of the word. There was a young man in Lancashire, England. He was under much conviction, but he didn't want salvation to interfere with his dreams of becoming wealthy. And eventually he became the owner of a cotton mill. Through much diligence and hard work, he achieved his goal. He was a rich man, running a prosperous mill. In his 40s, he suddenly fell ill, got sick. And as he lay dying, he kept frantically muttering, "Over there, Jesus," saying something, but I cannot hear him for the noise of the mill. And he repeated that over and over and over again till he died. Isn't that something? You know, in our world today, we got people that can't hear what Jesus is trying to say to them for the noise of something in their life that they chose in place of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's drink, it might be drugs, might be a boyfriend, might be a girlfriend, might be a career. But you've probably had people tell you, "I just don't have time for that right now. Not now. Not now." And all you can do is hope that God does for them what he did for us, and that he's merciful. And when it comes time when they're willing to hear, when they're willing to hear the call, that they can still hear it and not harden their hearts. Amen. So that's where we'll stop for today, and give you the rest of this lesson next week. How's that? It changes subject matter anyway. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you made sure that we had an opportunity to hear your word, that we might believe it, that we might receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that we might live according to your word. Lord, we know we fail you. We fail you daily, Lord. We ask you to forgive us and help us to get back on track, and help us, Lord, to do what you say in your word. But Lord, we need to be more and more in your word. Help us, Lord, to have a true desire to study your word on a daily basis and to look to you and your word for instruction for our daily walk. Help us, Lord, to trust your word to guide us in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.